Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Bible from Genesis to Revelation, preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth? It will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, radio show.
Shalom, shalom, grace and peace, everyone. Hallelujah.
Grace and peace in Jesus' name.
Grace and peace, everyone.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom, shalom, everyone.
Woo!
We're about to get this week started.
Amen.
Come on now. You know, it looked like it could be a long way from the Sabbath, but as long as we got the word, we ain't that far.
Amen.
Amen. Well, everyone, welcome again to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Job Israel of the Commonwealth of Israel, and welcoming you to the Tuesday night edition.
Amen.
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 So here we are with the Philadelphia Assembly Congregation with our brother Bob Farr. Eric Burkus. We would like to say good evening to each and every one of you. And tonight, our precept is the love of the brother, brotherly love. The love of the brother, brotherly love. Be kindly, Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Amen.
Amen.
We can't get enough of that, man. We can't get enough of brotherly love. But, you know, we don't have enough love in the world at all, let alone, you know, we don't have enough inside of the congregations as we know. But the Father is moving, man, and He's causing us to see what it is that we must do, and that's to love the brotherhood and love each other, you know. And love us, love each other as Christ loved the church. You know, ooh, man, don't let me get all up into this lesson. We're gonna turn this one here over to Brother Fire, who is gonna bring this lesson. So we're gonna say shalom, Israel, and grace and peace, Bob.
Shalom, Israel. Grace and peace.
Grace and peace.
Okay. Well, again, welcome to the Sounds of Living Waters, and we're going to kick this off with the message about brotherly love, and I'm going to go ahead and open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this group that's assembled together here, Father, and that has come to hear Your word. Father, we ask that You would add Your blessing to the reading of the word tonight, Father, and that You would edify each and every one of us and bring us in closer to You. Father, we just ask again that You would open eyes and hearts, and we ask it all in our precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yep. Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Yes, sir. All of you know that, you know, our congregation goes by the name of the Philadelphia Assembly. And the reason why we go with that is because it is known in Revelation chapter 3 as the Church of Brotherly Love. And we're going to jump in there, but we're going to give you a definition from the Strong's Concordance. The number 5360 is the Strong's Concordance reference number to the word Philadelphia. And the definition is brotherly love or love of the brethren. That's what the word Philadelphia means. Not that any of us necessarily that attend are that Philadelphia church, but we are striving to self-identify that with in love. And really that's what, you know, God's word is all about. We know God is love, and we know his word is love. So let's go ahead and get started. Brother Eric, let's turn to Exodus 20, and we're going to talk a little bit about God's law and his love. Exodus 20, and when you get there, start in verse 1, brother.
And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.
Now, we know that Israel was in Egypt, and they were under bondage. They literally lost God's law. Every commandment, everything, they really did not know what they were to do. And as he brought them out of Egypt into the desert or that area, he had to re-give them the law. And this is the first of those, the Ten Commandments. Go ahead, brother. And they were in bondage in Egypt, not just because they were slaves, but because they didn't have God's law. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth.
Now, we know here he says, not only does he say you shall have no other gods before me, when we actually look at this at the Hebrew, it's actually not having any other gods before his face. That's what this is talking about. So no other gods at all, period. You couldn't have any other gods. And in verse 4 there, he says, thou shalt not make unto you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. But we have to remember, verse 5 is why we didn't do that. I've had one or two people say something to us about because we had this peace dove up on as our emblem. And really all that does, we're just talking about we want to bring peace to the body of our Messiah, to Christ, the body of Christ, to bring those people together and offer that olive branch. That's what that's all about. Go ahead, brother. Read verse 5.
Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me.
Now, we really got to take a look at this because, again, he's talking about bowing down and serving people. And that's why you don't have images of things, of pictures of Christ or any of those things in the church, and bow down before them like they do in some congregations that we won't mention, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We know which ones those are. But that is what we're not to do, okay? And he's talking about that there be this sin or this iniquity of the fathers would be visited upon the children into the third and fourth of generations of them that hate me. Brother, go ahead. We'll see what he relates to hating him, okay? Go ahead and read. Verse 6.
And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments.
Well, if he's showing mercy to thousands of them that love him, and he identifies as keeping my commandments is what is the evidence of that, then we know the opposite of that. So go ahead, brother, verse 7.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.
Now, we know we should never use the word, the God's name, in any way that's disrespectful. But this is mainly talking about saying we belong to him and we don't. Because if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. Okay? Yeah. So he's telling us very plainly here, as he's given these Ten Commandments, that those that hate him are the ones that reject his law and his commandments and not walking in them. Go ahead, brother. Now he's going to identify some specifics.
Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord had made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Now, this is a very, very important commandment. Notice he starts with remember. And we know that Israel at that time had already forgotten the Sabbath because they'd been in bondage there in Egypt. But even today, most of the people that call themselves the Christians or the church have, you know, done the same thing. They've lost their sign, their mark, this Sabbath day, keeping this seventh day holy, sanctified, and set apart from the rest. Go ahead, brother, in the next verse 12.
Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Now, very important to honor your father and your mother. First commandment with promise, talking about a long life. And obviously we know the opposite's true if we don't do that. Go ahead, brother.
Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's.
Notice the first four commandments here are how to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And the last six are how to love their neighbor as ourselves. Okay, bro. Let's turn now to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, Matthew 22. Matthew 22, okay, and start up in verse 35 when you get there, brother.
35 or verse 1?
35? Matthew 22, verse 35.
35, okay.
I must have wrote it down wrong for you, I guess, brother.
Something like that. It's all right, bro. 35.
Don't be surprised I didn't do it again before we get done. Got a lot of scripture here. Go ahead, bro.
Verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Now, notice how the Ten Commandments here are actually summed up, or this is what the Ten Commandments are to bring us to. How to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. We know those first four commandments tell us how to do this first great commandment. And then the second commandment is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, years ago, I came up in the Sunday church. I know a lot of people didn't. But they read this quite often and said this as how the law is done away with, but they failed to read verse 40. And it says, on these two commandments hang all the law, which is equal to the word Torah. This Greek word here is namus. equal to Torah. It's talking about the law and the prophets.
No, Torah is instruction.
I'm sorry?
Oh, why am I not muted? Is he doing a lesson?
Sister Doris,
Well, y'all have to let me know now. You know what I mean? Is he doing a lesson? I'm thinking everybody is muted.
No, Sister Doris, the line is open, so if anyone has a question, they can ask, but I'm going to mute your line.
No, hold up. Wait a minute now since you said that. Oh, I didn't know the forum. I mean, you know, I thought once the lesson is going forth that you can't say anything. I'm sorry. I didn't know. But he said that the Torah was the law, but I beg to differ. The Torah is instruction.
I wouldn't dispute that at all, brother. Torah means instruction.
This is sister. Sister, I'm sorry about my voice. I'm sorry about my voice, but no, it's sister.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. Torah does mean instructions.
Okay, but so it kind of confuses people when you call it the law, because you had opened the door when you said Sunday church. You know, you opened the door when you said that. I don't understand. We don't mean that the law is done. We mean like the ceremonies and the ordinances and stuff like that. Can y'all understand that?
Sure, absolutely. I'm not here to say that there are not some things that haven't been brought to a conclusion. But all of the Torah or all of the law is not done away with. The ordinance of animal sacrifices, those are shelved or are not in operation at this time. But all of the Ten Commandments and everything that's written in the book of the law or the Torah is not done away with.
Well, no. And when you say the Torah, we know and we understand that that is the Ten Commandments. It has nothing to do with ordinances, right?
Well, we could discuss that further at the end. I'm not trying to debate what you're saying. I agree with you.
Okay.
But I'm coming to another point, because there's a lot of things in the scripture that in the Torah that people are relating to that are done away with. And you and I would both agree are absolutely not. Okay. And again, I'm not totally disagreeing what you're saying at all. Okay. I don't want you to think that.
Okay, well, yeah, but you said that's a good what you said, because then that way, you know what I mean, people will know, you know what I'm saying, what's done away with and what's not.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I
just to say that it is or it ain't. That's good.
Right.
Thank you.
I appreciate your point being brought. It's okay. It didn't bother me at all, brother, that it came through. So don't feel like that. It's all right. No problem. Okay, we're there. Okay, now that we finished there, let's go back to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19.
Hey, man.
Man, I wrote that down wrong. I can see now on my list on the one that I sent to you guys. Man, I'm making all kind of mistakes. It's all right. Go ahead, brother. Exodus 19, and when you get there, pick it up in verse 5.
Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine.
Now that he said that, you know, notice that he's talking to Israel, physical, okay? But he also says, all the earth is mine. Go ahead, brother.
And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him.
Okay, stop right there. You know, and that, so what he's saying here is, was, as he promised to make Israel, and there was both physical and also sojourners in this bunch here, if the condition was if they would keep his covenant. And his covenant is the Torah, okay, and the Ten Commandments. It's more than just the Ten Commandments. Obviously, there are things in the Torah, like sacrifice, that are come to a cessation at this point in time. But this promise to make them kingdom of priests and a holy nation, these are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. And he goes all in at this point, first to the Ten Commandments, and then continues on. And all these instructions in the Torah are how to love the Lord thy God. So the first Ten Commandments laid out, and then the rest of the law breaks down those Ten Commandments, or sums up the Ten Commandments, like those Ten Commandments sum up those two great commandments. Okay, let's go to St. John, or the Gospel of John, chapter 13. John 13 and chapter 34 and 35 when you get there, brother. Verses 34 and 35 when you get there.
A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another.
See, so the second commandment, love one another, is just as important as the first. Got to love the Lord thy God. We would not know how to love our brother if we did not have God first love us. See, he's the one showed example, and we have to love our brother like God loved us. Go ahead, brother. Now let's go to Galatians, or 1 John chapter 2. 1 John, or the Epistle of John. Chapter 2, verse 7, when you get there, brother.
Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning.
Yes, sir. See, he's explaining to them that the new commandment is, there's really no new commandment. It's only what we've heard from the beginning. Go ahead, brother.
Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes.
See, it's still the same. The story is the same. It's the same commandments that we've heard from the beginning, and it's those things are breaking down what our Messiah knew, what this lawyer knew, and most everyone knew, that those two great commandments summed up all the law and all the prophets. Okay, let's go to Galatians, the fifth chapter. Galatians, the fifth chapter. Galatians, the fifth chapter, and pick it up in 13, brother, when you get there.
For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
See, it's back to the same verbiage again. Now, liberty, as we'd hear most say, means that, you know, we've been freed from the law. That's just the opposite of the truth. See, the law frees us from sin. That's why they call the Ten Commandments the perfect law of liberty. Okay? So For the brethren you have called unto liberty, only use not that liberty for occasion to the flesh. We're going to dig into that more about the flesh, but by the love serve one another. So, you read, did you finish, brother?
Yeah, I finished 14 and 15 now.
Okay, 15. Go ahead, brother.
But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
See, us, our human flesh is what causes us to bite and rip at one another. That also causes mm-hmm. us to sin and not keep the law of God. Go ahead, brother.
For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law.
Now, what is he talking about here? Not under the law. He's talking about not being under the penalty of the law. That's what he's talking about here. Not that the law itself is not there, but the penalty for sin is death. When our Messiah died and his shed blood renewed this covenant, then our past sins were washed away. But then we have to walk after the Spirit as our Messiah did, and he kept every word that was commanded from his Father. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
See, all these things are against the Torah or against the law. They're all spelled out very well in the law and the commandments. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
See, there's no instruction, nothing in any of the Torah that is against these things. As a matter of fact, it's all about how to have these fruits of the Spirit that it's talking about here. Okay. 24. Go ahead, brother.
And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Very simple instructions. Now, let's go ahead. Now, let's turn and go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And start out in verse 8 when you get there, brother.
If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors.
Notice here, he's not just talking about our brother here. He's talking about your neighbor. Your neighbor might not be your brother, okay? But he also added into that we can't be a respecter of persons, just like our Heavenly Father is not a respecter of persons. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 10.
Yes, sir.
For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all.
Yes, sir. Verse 11.
For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty.
See, this law is the law of liberty. This is what sets us free from the law of sin and death. Go ahead, brother.
For ye shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy and mercy rejoiceth against judgment.
Now, what's he talking about here? He says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. So he's talking about the great white throne judgment here at the second resurrection. At that time, for those that have had no mercy, he's going to have no mercy. Go ahead, brother.
What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? And if a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit?
We don't have time to go back and read everything in the law, but I'm sure all of you that are familiar with Deuteronomy and Exodus and all these understand that we have to actually do something. Just praying for somebody is not keeping the law. You know, if somebody is without food, we have to give them food. If they need to be warmed, we need to fill them. We need to warm them. All these things are necessary. It's not just the top surface. Faith without works is dead, but James is going to say that for us. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 17, even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works.
See, our Heavenly Father, that's why it's important to keep his commandments. Because if you say that you love somebody, but you disobey or disrespect everything that they tell you, do you really love them? You see, this is what it's all about, because if you truly believe God, that's what faith is, then you're going to keep his commandments. You're going to believe what he says, and you're going to do what he says, because you know that's pleasing in his sight. Go ahead, brother.
Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?
So, as we can see here, these two great commandments, and loving the Lord thy God and loving our neighbors ourselves, is really the manifestation of our faith. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Let's hit this even harder. Romans chapter 8. Take right off in verse 1 when you get there, brother.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Let's look at that, okay? Once you come under that shed blood of your Messiah, your past sins are washed away, and you receive them, and that goes along with it. But there's still a condition there. You have to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And that means walking as our Messiah walked. Go ahead, brother.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death.
See, there it is. Identified. That's what you're freed from. That's what the perfect law of liberty, that's what those great commandments and God's law frees us from, the law of sin and death. Go ahead, brother.
For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh.
Now, stop God right there. Stop there a second, brother. I want to hit that right there because it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up right where you left off after I finish this. For what the law could not do, in that it is weak. God's law is not weak. It's perfect. It's without flaw. What's weak is us. We're the flesh.
Yes,
go ahead, brother.
Sir. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh.
How do you do that? By walking perfect. By not sinning, by keeping every one of those commandments,
yes,
that's how he condemns sin in the flesh. Go ahead, brother.
That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh.
See,
for they
without the Spirit of God living in you, you're just going to go after the flesh. You're going to do everything that pleases you.
Yes, sir.
And if you say you're converted and you are still walking after the flesh, you're fooling yourself, because you're going to be walking like our Messiah walked. That don't mean we're not going to make mistakes. We're still going to slip up because we are in the flesh. But we're going to be our heart's desire is going to be to keep his commandments. Go ahead, brother.
But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
See, if you don't walk after the Spirit, as our Messiah did, and keep those commandments, the penalty for sin is death. You don't get that freedom from the sin, from sin and death, if you don't walk after the Spirit. Go ahead, brother.
Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be.
See, that's why when you try to talk to somebody that is not converted, does not have the Spirit of God, they don't understand a thing you say about when you're reading this book like this. They don't get it, because they have a carnal mind, and that carnal mind is enmity against God, and it cannot be subject to God because they're living in their own pride. Neither indeed can it be. Go ahead, brother.
So then they are in the flesh. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, that be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin.
What's he talking about? He's talking about if Christ be in you, the body, and that's talking about the old man, that flesh that we've been talking about, is dead because of sin. Go ahead, brother.
Because of sin. The Spirit is life because of righteousness.
Now, what is righteousness? Let's think about that for a minute. That's nothing that we can attain on our own. Psalms 119, verse 172, says, "For all of God's commandments are righteousness."
Amen.
So when you know that and you live it out and you're after the Spirit, that's how you how this is fulfilled in you and Christ be in you. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Go ahead, brother.
But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you.
See, when you got that Spirit of God dwelling in you, you now, in the flesh, are able to keep God's commandments. Not perfectly like our Messiah, but you're still able to keep them because you're after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Go ahead, brother.
Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
See, not that you will be, but right now we are the sons of God. We've not received our spiritual body yet, but we have that Spirit of God dwelling in us. Go ahead, brother.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Yes, sir.
The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
Now, how are we suffering with him now? We get all kinds of persecution all the time because we're always standing up for the commandments. We're going to church on the Sabbath. We're keeping his commandments. And they're seeing those things in us. And that law stands in judgment of them, not us. And they know it. And so we suffer with him as he does in the flesh, that we at the first resurrection may be glorified together. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God.
See, right now we are still a creature, even though we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, and our creature, our man, waiteth for that manifestation, that revealing, that revelation of that spiritual body. Go ahead, brother.
For the creature was made subject to vanity, not
Amen.
Willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the fruit, first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
That's talking about getting that spiritual body. Go ahead, brother.
For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Amen, brother. Amen. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and pick it up in verse 5 when you get there, brother.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might.
See, that's not a new commandment. Go ahead, brother.
And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.
See, that's all these things that are written here in this book of the law, the Torah. Go ahead, brother.
And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine head, hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates.
Now he didn't have them write the whole of the law, because I don't think you could do that and put it on your gates. He put the Ten Commandments up there because those summed up all the law and all the commandments. Go ahead, brother.
We have verse 10.
No, 9 was it. Let's go to Deuteronomy 11. Chapter 11.
And verse 1.
1 through 3.
Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always.
See, he's not just singling out just to the Ten Commandments. Go ahead, brother.
And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm, and his miracles, and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt, unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and unto all his land.
See, the children of Israel at this time, and the whole congregation of Israel at this time, had seen all these things, and he was speaking to them, not to their children. And what we read in 6, in Deuteronomy 6, was telling them to teach that to their children. See, that's what a lot of times gets failed. you know, we ourselves don't understand and really study out the law and the commandments and all and his judgments and all those things always, and then it doesn't get passed down, and that's what happened to Israel. It could happen to us too. Okay, let's go to Isaiah chapter 58. Go ahead in verse 1 when you get there, brother.
Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show thy people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Verse 4, behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to spite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord?
See, now, this is not about not fasting. This is about not stopping sinning. You know, anything that we do ritualistically and we don't change and keep his commandments, that's what he's talking about. See, Israel delighted in approaching God and didn't, you know, forsake his ordinances. But they weren't doing the things we talked about feeding the poor, doing all those things. They were just blindly keeping these ordinances. And we can't do that, brothers and sisters. We have to keep them with the whole heart. And then where we fall short, that's a different story. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke.
Now, did Israel do that? Did they give the land back at the Jubilee? Did they let the oppressed go free at the end of 7 years? I think if you would study the scriptures very hard, you'll find out that that didn't happen. And probably not happening too much today either for any of us. Go ahead, brother.
Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward.
Rear reward. That's talking about your rear guard. That's talking about him having your back, okay? If you just do those things that's commanded in the law, you know, obviously we're going to fall short. We're going to keep his commandments and his ordinances and all those things. But all these things here are contained in the ordinances as well. And we have to be ready to do all these things. We got to be able to deal our bread into the hungry, that thou bring the poor and that are cast out into your house. When thou seest the naked, and thou cover him, and thou hide not yourself, then shall your light break forth as the morning. When we really keep his commandments from the heart, like David did, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before you, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard, or he'll have your back. And if you don't do those things, He's going to be behind your back because you put his law behind his back. When he's behind there, it might not be a good thing then. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 9, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer.
When you
thou
do those
pray.
Things. Go ahead, brother.
Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and a satisfied afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in.
See, and that's what that's really keeping his commandments. And that's when you are the repairer of the breach, because that is the breach. Sin, iniquity, lawlessness, whatever you want to call it, that's what separates us from God. And if we want to be the repairer of the breach, we got to keep all his commandments with the whole heart. Go ahead, brother.
If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it.
Amen. Okay, let's go to matter of fact, let's skip that Matthew 20. I wrote that down wrong. I already see that.
Yeah.
Let's go to Romans, the second chapter. Romans chapter 2. This is long enough anyway.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 2. From here on, I don't have them all there, so you've got plenty of time. Romans chapter 2. Romans 2, and pick it up in verse 10 through 29, brother.
But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile.
Now,
for there is no respect of persons with God.
Amen. Now, he starts out here, he says, but glory, honor, peace to every man that worketh good. Obviously, to the Jew first, and we know they're talking about the tribe of Judah there. And that word Judah means those belonging to Jehovah in this context, okay? Go look it up and see if that doesn't. And obviously, that's talking about the tribe of Judah as well. First. And also to the Gentile. Go ahead, brother, for there's no respecter of persons with God.
For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law.
Yep.
For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified.
Now that could get kind of confusing there. But it says, for as many as have sinned without the law, that's talking about the Gentiles, the unconverted, not grafted in, shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law, those that have known the law, shall be judged by the law. Go ahead, brother.
For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves.
Yep, because they're doing by nature the things that's contained in the law. Go ahead, brother.
Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel.
Yes, sir.
Behold, thou art called a Jew, and retest in the law, and makest thy boast of God.
Right.
And
Noah says, we know that this Jew referred to the tribe of Judah, but it also at that time referred to all the tribes that dwelled there around Jerusalem. Okay? And they making their boast in the law, and the law that resteth in the law, and makest the boast of God. Go ahead, brother.
And knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. And are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest that man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blaspheming among the Gentiles through you, as it is written.
You know, that's not any different today. You know, people that you go, a lot of people that are out there that don't go to church at all and are not believers, you approach them about God and they look, hey, I've been to church, man. And them guys up there, all they do is, you know, they got their little cliques and they're all a bunch of hypocrites, you know, and they don't do what they say. They say one thing and do another. And that's why the name of God is blaspheming among the Gentiles then and today. Go ahead, brother.
For circumcision merely profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision.
Now, some people will try to tell you that circumcision is done away with, but I can't see that when Paul just said, for circumcision verily or truly profiteth you if you keep the law. Now, nobody kept the law perfectly, but those that were trying to keep the law, circumcision benefits you. But if thou be a breaker of the law, meaning you sin and don't care, say one thing and do another, your circumcision is made uncircumcision. Go ahead, brother.
Right. Therefore, the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision?
You know, when God said to Abraham that he said, here I am, was he circumcised or uncircumcised? He was uncircumcised, okay? So when Gentiles are called, if they're not circumcised, you know, they're not circumcised, but their uncircumcision is counted for circumcision. That doesn't free them from being circumcised. That just means at the moment. Go ahead, brother.
And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doest transgress the law?
Amen.
For he is not a Jew, which is one.
Yeah, that Jew they're talking about here is one that is belonging to Jehovah or the Father. Go ahead.
For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh.
See, that's a sign or a mark pointing towards the circumcision of the heart. Go ahead, brother.
But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God.
Amen. Okay. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans the 10th, did I say Romans? Yeah.
Romans, no, Revelation?
Hebrews.
Oh,
Hebrews? Got that in there, don't I?
Nope.
I don't have Hebrews in there?
Yeah,
No, you don't. I didn't
sleep. Hebrews chapter 10. That's all right. Hebrews chapter 10.
Hebrews 10?
Yes, sir. Okay. I thought I had it in there, but I've already made several mistakes. Hebrews 10.
Take me a little bit to get there, brother.
It's all right. Take your time. Take
the script in there, brother. It's definitely noted.
Okay, what verse?
Chapter, and you're going to pick it up in chapter 22. Verse 22.
Verse 22?
Yes, sir.
Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water.
Okay, we know what that is. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works.
Right back not to those two commandments. Go ahead.
Not forsaking and assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching.
He's talking about assembling ourselves together. I know he's not talking about on no Christmas or Easter or Sunday. Go ahead, brother.
For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins.
What happened to that? It doesn't matter what you do that you hear in all these different congregations out there. It says if you understand and know the commandments, and you sin anyway, there's no more sacrifice. That means our Messiah's blood doesn't cover our sins if we sin willfully. Go ahead, brother.
But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses.
See, and all that was pointing towards the final chapter. Go ahead, brother.
Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall ye be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace.
Now, notice it's talking about the one that sinned willfully here that he disregarded the sacrifice of the Son of God. Him being an unholy thing, hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Some people try to tell you that grace started with our Messiah, but we know that Noah even found grace in the eyes of God, and if he wouldn't, none of us would be here. See, it is not about not keeping the commandments. It's about keeping them. Go ahead, brother.
For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Want to keep going? How far down, brother?
All the way through the end, brother. 39.
But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were eliminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction.
Now, talking about us being converted and calling it illuminated, you endured, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction. Go ahead, brother.
Partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used.
Now, think about how prophets and all those were like that. They all went through all these things, these reproaches that we're talking about. Some of us think we're really reproached, but we're definitely not reproached. We don't replace those to blood. Go ahead, brother.
For ye had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry.
See, I mean, it's now plain to see that we have to have patience. We have to endure to the end in God's commandments so that for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. We know that's going to be the first resurrection. Go ahead, brother.
Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Amen. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to come right back to that love. Revelation chapter 3, and pick it up in verse 7, brother.
And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name.
See, there's a lot to it there. You got to keep his word. And a lot of people don't even know that the word, the book of Deuteronomy means the words. And it's talking about have kept my word, not just talking about just Deuteronomy, but obviously his instructions. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 9, behold, I will make them the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie.
Yep. This could be talking about those people in Israel that call themselves Jews and are not. But it also could be talking about us, not us, but people that say they belong to the Father, but don't keep his commandments. Go ahead, brother.
Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know what I have loved thee and know that I have loved thee. Verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth.
Now, really important here, you know, a lot of people connect what they call the pre-tribulation rapture to this verse. And it says the exact opposite. But we got to know what his patience is. We saw it back in the book of Hebrews, that we have to patiently keep his commandments. See, the whole body of Christ now, except for a few, a remnant, okay, are not keeping God's commandments. They say they're done away with, okay? Let's go to Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. We're going to come right back here to see the definition of his patience. Revelation 14 and 12.
Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus.
Amen. See, Jesus had the faith to keep those commandments to the very end, and that's what we have to do. We have to endure to the end. Go back to Revelation 3, brother, and pick it up in 11. We'll finish in 13.
Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God.
What is it
and
he's overcoming? What are we overcoming here? We've read all through this book, we've been overcoming the flesh. And the only way we overcome the flesh is through the Spirit, and that's by the keeping of the commandments that we've written, that are written in the book. Go ahead, brother.
Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Amen.
Amen.
And may the Father add his blessings to the reading of the word.
Praise God.
we're finished right there.
That's it.
Amen.
Great, great lesson, bro. Great lesson. I gotta admit, man. When you went into the law to show that love is in the law, you know, that surprised me, man, because a lot of us don't use the law to justify that. You know, a lot of us don't use the law to justify the love of God, and we don't use the commandments to justify it. I mean, the royal law, we don't do it. We show examples, but we don't show that it's actually the law. You know, I got a script, man. I just want to add to the precept, man. And this is, it's in Psalms 133, and it says this: "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like a precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirt of his garment. As the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descend upon the Mount of Zion, for the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." So it's a blessing of life, eternity, and the love of the brotherhood. Really? It's an anointing and the unity of the brethren.
Amen.
You see, so we really take that lightly, man, because we're too busy to get caught up on addresses, man. We're too busy getting caught up on teachers and so-called who is teaching you, and so we, you know, and it, in the end, it's really just it's the word of God.
Amen,
and
brother.
Amen.
What we don't realize is that we actually are performing idolatry.
Yeah.
You know, by lifting up men instead of lifting up God for his purposes. You see, so we gotta stop doing that, man. We gotta love each other first. If we don't learn how to love each other, you ain't going to see the borders. You're not going to see the gate. You're not going to see the borders. Because the great white throne judgment said heaven and earth fled away. You won't even get a chance to see heaven and earth anymore without the love of the brotherhood. You know, so it's an everlasting blessing in that. And if you don't love the brotherhood, it's everlasting damnation in that, because a false balance is the about. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. So we got to love each other like that, man.
Yes, sir.
You know, so once again, brother, great lesson, great precept. I yield. I love it.
Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Any more people? Any more questions or comments?
Well, yes. You know, I held off because he was doing a lesson. I do.
What's your question, Sister Dora?
You know, sometimes I don't have a question. I have a comment. But I really appreciate the format that you guys have for the people, you know what I mean, so they can gain edification, you know what I mean, by who's teaching. Now, I enjoyed the lesson totally, and it was a lesson on brotherly love. And then I heard comments of it definitely was Sunday church. Now, I don't feel that was said out of brotherly love, because if so, then the scripture said to test all things, and then that person would have to prove it. But then when they can't prove it, it gets frustrating. And then you say that it's a debate. But I would like to ask the question when our scriptures a debate?
I don't think the scriptures are a debate. I think the scripture is the word of God, and I don't think you can debate with the word of God. Now, you can debate on your opinion on the word of God till the cows come home. And I'll tell you, sister, I have all kinds of love for people in all walks of faith. But, you know, the truth is the truth. And sometimes when we say the truth, it'll hurt. But I don't mean it out of disrespect or not in love.
No. I know that. I hang with these people all the time. I mean, you know what I mean? I have a very thick skin, and I'm also a student of the Bible myself.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, I would like to ask you, since you're on here, before you leave, since you were talking about the brotherly love and it seems to be a disconnect on who's following the law and who isn't. Now, I know that we're not crazy when we read in the Bible where it says that Christ's death abolished the decrees that were written against us with the ordinance and all of that his death paid for that. But you're telling me that I have to go back to the Old Testament and pick that yoke up. So that actually, to me, is saying that Christ's death means nothing to.
Okay. I never and if you took that from what I said, you completely misunderstood what I said, because I said this. The yoke that we
you
have on
that
us.
You say that we think that the law is done
law.
Away with.
The yoke that is on us is not law. It was sin. And what we were freed from was the law of sin and death, not from keeping the commandments. And ordinances that were done away with, that were against us, were animal sacrifices, because they could never take away sin. But Christ's death, him dying one time for not just my sins, but for the sins of the whole world, he could take those away, and you could pick up anew, and you could pick up his life and walk as he walked. How did he walk? He walked by every commandment. He didn't free us from the law, sister. He freed us from the law of sin and death, and that is what comes when we disobey or disannul the law of God.
But so far the only law that has been revealed since we've been talking was animal sacrifices. No other laws were mentioned.
Oh, well, that's the main one, because that's the only one that couldn't take away sin. Those other things don't take away sin, but by doing them, we do not sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says sin is transgression of the law. So
right.
If you break the law, that's sin. And that's what separates you from God. Christ's death brought us back. He reconciled us back to the Father through the Son to keep his commandments, not to disannul them.
But I was always taught that the law is good, that sin is the problem.
Well, exactly what I just said. Sin.
Well, I'm just saying, okay, and you're a student of the Bible, I would imagine. Now, can you tell me, after Christ's death, on what day did the disciples meet from there on out?
They met on the seventh-day Sabbath like they always did.
I said after Christ's death.
After his death. They met on the Sabbath, as was their custom. So did Paul and everybody
else.
Can
you read that first? Can you read that for me? After his death. Can you read that for me?
Yeah, I could read that for you.
You know, it's just like, it to me, sometimes while you're looking, it just feels like it's a double-edged sword, because I know I'm reading this in a book, and it's like people just want me to disregard what Scripture says, and I cannot do that.
No, well, but if you got to read all of Scripture, not just a little bit here.
Oh, I do. I read the whole chapter. I don't just do precepts. I don't just do precepts.
Okay. All I'm saying is,
you
have never read where it said Paul kid met on the Sabbath day as it was his custom in the book of Acts?
No. I said the apostle. Now, he wasn't one of the original 12.
Okay.
But that's okay, sir. I really enjoyed your teaching, and it was
okay.
A good lesson. And you're right that everyone should show brotherly love, for the scripture said that as long as I'm in Christ, there is no condemnation. People can throw it and they can say it, but it ain't going to stick.
Absolutely. If you're in the body of Christ, your past sins are gone, but you that doesn't mean you could continue in sin.
That's not to say that I am in sin.
It just says that
there is no condemnation. So, you know, the world is what condemns you. You know what I mean? So I try and be separate than that.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Love you, sister.
All right.
This is Brother Paul. I just went on my concordance online as that conversation unfolded. And though it doesn't say specifically that the disciples were keeping the Sabbath day, when they disputed with Paul, and Paul came to the church in Jerusalem in Acts 15, they reiterated that Moses of old time, 15 and 21, for Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. That was
okay,
just
but
part
I think
the disciples being a part of
it. I didn't know exactly where it was, but the reference I was talking about, I think you'll be able to find it in John, not Acts.
Okay. That was just the particular scripture that came to mind, because that wasn't talking about just the disciples, but the entire church of Christ.
Oh, well, I understand. But no, I'm just saying, I'm just a person, whether I read it in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you know what I mean? I can't discard it.
Oh, shouldn't.
can I ask a question?
Sure.
Sister Doris, you got your Bible?
Yeah.
Okay, could you go to Acts,
you want me to go to
yes,
Acts?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I would like for you to go to Acts 18 and 4 and read that for me.
Hold on. Acts. 18 and 4. Hold
yes,
on.
Ma'am.
I'm going to use my.
And this is after Jesus.
Okay. I'm going to get there. Acts 4 and what now?
Acts 18 and 4.
Okay, 18 and 4. And I'll read it. Just that one verse?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. It says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Gentiles.
So we see here that the law was never changed, and it never went to the church or anything like that. It says he reasoned every Sabbath, persuading both Jews and Gentiles. So it didn't make a difference who it was. Everybody had to keep that one ground zero, and that is the Sabbath. Oh, and one more thing, Sister Doris, one more. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and here go Jesus. Now, Jesus is telling us this. Now, one thing we're not going to do is
what?
Ask the living God. Matthew's 24 and verse 20.
Okay, hold on. Okay, 20. It says,
But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the day of the Sabbath.
Verse 21.
Well, the Sabbath was not in question. Why are you asking me to read that?
No, read 21.
Says, for then shall be a great tribulation such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be.
Now, the question is, you're right. It wasn't never about the Sabbath, but it was about people going to church on Sunday. And
I want to go on record. If I don't care what anybody says, if you're a student of the Bible, you know that Sunday is not the Sabbath day. See, that's propaganda and dogma. That's why I asked him, could he tell me after Jesus' death, the 12 original disciples, what day did they meet? They met on the first day of the week. And we also know that Christ was from Nazareth and Galilee. He celebrated on the 14th. The peoples in Jerusalem did it on the 15th. You understand? So what you're reading in the synagogue is what the Jews did. But that's not necessarily what the Nazareth of Galilee people did.
Well, Paul was a Pharisee.
That's why it's not a big deal. And if everybody keeps talking about the law, and I know for a fact that the Sabbath is a day of rest to be enjoyed at home. So how am I going to be at church, or how am I going to be at camp or school if I'm supposed to be at home enjoying my family? Y'all confuse people. But the law says that they in their dwelling. Now, I know for a fact my dwellings is where I live at. Now, on the first day of the week, they set up for the widows and the orphans. Now, that's what I read in the book, and I don't think that it's wrong.
Well, let me ask you this, Sister Doris. Let me ask you this. Have you ever listened to the lessons that we teach on the Sabbath day?
I don't have any problem with the Sabbath. The Sabbath, he said you are to remember it.
No, sis, that's not what I asked you. I asked you, have you ever listened to us teach the lessons on the Sabbath?
I have, and plus I read the Bible. That's a more,
okay,
and you know me, no offense.
Well, baby, you're giving me way too much information. Hold on. I just asked you. Wait a minute. Hold on. Okay, so if you listen to us on the Sabbath day and you was at the comfort of your home, then you actually was keeping the Sabbath day.
I don't have a problem with that. Where I live at here is basically a five-day work week. Some may be six, but it is a five-day work week. So, you know what I mean? You can work 6 days, but legally, you cannot work a person 7 days. So God's plan has always been in effect.
I just thought I'd put that out there and add those scripts, because we could see that they reason in the Sabbath day every week, both Jews and Gentiles. So,
But Christ did it on the 14th.
Christ did it every Saturday.
And then that's how you know, too, because you can look at it. Now, you know, when I just said that I am to enjoy the Sabbath at home, that lets me know that is just a regular weekly Sabbath. But when it comes to the feast days, you guys had to go to a place where God deemed, and then, you know what I mean, y'all do y'all thing. But, see, ain't nobody doing that right now. So, you know what I mean? Like I said, everybody can do what they do, you know?
No, you can't do what you want to do, but
Yeah, you can.
That's true. I agree. I got one more scripture, and
And okay, but be, while you're looking for that scripture, I just want to go on record for everybody to know that we do not believe that Sunday is the Sabbath day. Please stop that, because we know it's not.
Well, we know. We done heard you say that like 20 times already, girl. Come on.
And it's the truth. It's the truth. Now, if everybody accept that, what premise can you go on from there? Huh?
No,
can
we do
something? Knowing all that we know, can we do some brotherly love? Can
I'm trying to give you some love. Go on in at Luke chapter 4.
Okay.
Luke chapter 4 and pick it up at 14, 15, and 16.
4 and 15. Okay.
No, Luke chapter 4, verses 14, 15, 16, and 17.
Okay. All right. 14. It's still not good. It says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out fame of him through all the regions round about. And he taught in the synagogue, being glorified for all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as it was his custom, was that he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. You want me to keep reading?
Well, I just want to point out the fact that if we believe in, if we all follow the Jesus Christ, then you can either go to class or you can keep the Sabbath at home. But you, one way or another, you better be getting that word on the Sabbath.
Oh, but you didn't. But you saying that scripture just proved what you just said?
Well, the scripture shows that if we all follow the Christ, then we do the things that Jesus did, and he actually went and kept the Sabbath day.
Okay, so then I'm going to ask you this question, because I don't think that there were any synagogues in Jerusalem. I don't think. I know there was synagogues in Galilee, in Nazareth. I know that for a fact, but I don't think that there were any in Jerusalem. I'm not. Don't hold me to that, but I'm almost sure.
Yeah,
I think there were temples. I think the temples were in Jerusalem. That's what I'm saying. I am an avid reader of the Bible. Believe me. You know what I mean? And I do it without bias, and that's the best way to do it.
Well, you know what, and you're right, and I'm glad the Father put it in your heart to read the book in that manner. But one thing that the lesson isn't about is that the brotherly love must take place. And like Paul brought up an excellent point Sunday night. Remember, he read this scripture and he said the judgment is going to start in the house of God. How else is it going to start in the house of God unless it's a house of God for it to start? So, you know, just getting back to that. But I'm not holding up too much of Bob's time. I just thought I'd just add my little 2 cents in there for whatever it's worth, because that's all it is 2 cents.
Oh, beautiful lesson, really.
Oh, phew, that was a wonderful piece.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful. So I yield the mic on that. And Brother Bob, forgive me if I, you know.
Oh. No, Brother, that you was more than welcome to step in there. I appreciate you. I want to thank everybody that tuned in tonight, and hopefully that everybody got edified by the reading of the word.
Amen.
Amen. Well, with that being said, everybody, you want to be back here tomorrow for the the Nation of Peace, Israelites, with your brother Nakomi Swanson, a.k.a. Nehemiah, Israel, a.k.a. Little Israel, bringing what?
That kingdom state of mind.
That kingdom state of mind. So you want to be back here tomorrow for that. Also, we just want to say once again, Philadelphia Assembly, our brother Bob and our brother Eric, great job, great lesson.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You for the edification. Amen. And thank you, Sister Doris, for keeping your brothers in a book.
Yes, sir.
We love you, sis, and everyone is listening. Time appointed. Once again, shalom, shalom.
Shalom,
shalom.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Times of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.